This is the Lindy's Football Report. The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
5:18 left with the clock running. First and goal from the 6. Ritter back at the 11, waiting for the snap. He has the ball, fakes a handoff, runs left, gets a block from Wiley, runs it into the end zone. Touchdown, Bearcats!
Jones drops, throws into the middle of the field.
Yes! It's in! Incomplete! It's incomplete! Kentucky stops Florida, Jaquez Jones!
Brown rolling to his right. Chased by Gabe Reed, throws, and it is incomplete, out of bounds! Stanford has knocked off number 3 Oregon. What a win!
Another round of upsets continued in the first weekend of October, as they did all during September. But you don't have to include Cincinnati in that list. They topped Notre Dame to become a player in the race for the college football playoff. Of course, we had other upsets. Stanford takes down number 3 Oregon. And probably the chances of the Pac-12 in the playoff. Kentucky more than likely ended any SEC championship hopes for the Florida Gators. But we did see Alabama and Georgia hold serve in a big way. So it wasn't all bad for the AP Top 10.
We've had 5 weeks of football, Graham. 34 teams that have been ranked have already lost. That's the most in the history of the AP poll. And that thing's been around since 1936. That's a long time and a lot of shakeup. Expect more of the same. That's the kind of season we look like we're going to have. Does that mean Alabama or Georgia could lose? It's possible. I mean, it's a chance. Cincinnati, does that open the door for them? Finally, the madness ensues. Yeah, I think there's a chance they could somehow land in the top 4 at the end of the year.
It seems to be setting up that way, doesn't it? And then there are the antics of Lane Kiffin.
Here we go. Get your popcorn ready.
Well, what's the big thing?
Whoa.
And away the headset goes. The Ole Miss coach kept his usual element of stupefaction and failed miserably with the now infamous popcorn comment and the toss of the headset prior to his team's loss to Alabama. Monday, he held a different tone as he tried to explain away his behavior during his weekly press conference.
I got the headset. I just said something really stupid. You better score a lot of points. And I didn't realize it was the last question either. You know, they were calling for kickoff return. I think there was 30 seconds on the clock and the refs were calling for. So I literally didn't know there was another question. And when I found out afterwards, you know, that looked rude, which it did, I contacted Jamie to make sure she knew that was not on purpose. So,
Coach, how do you balance?
And then I said at halftime to Levy, I go, it looks like we didn't plug the microwave in, buddy.
I think that says it all. You just take it from there.
I had no problem with Lane's antics. It is popcorn line, his headset toss. That's kind of what we come to expect from Lane Kiffin. And I like Lane. He's funny, and I think he's done good things for Ole Miss football, but we see where they've got to go. They're not there yet. They didn't live up to it. They didn't give us a popcorn game, unfortunately. I think Matt Corral, although he didn't play poorly, probably is out of the picture as a Heisman candidate now. They still have a chance, though, to progress and narrow that gap.
And they've got a chance to remedy that problem. They enter an important week of SEC play, and they need a win of notability. But so does their opponent, Arkansas. They're still feeling the sting of the shutout loss at the hands of Georgia, and will try to keep their hopes alive with a win in Oxford. But former college coach and recruiting coordinator Max Howell is not too sure that they can pull it off against Ole Miss.
Arkansas, remember, they've been down for six, 7 years. And Arkansas got beat up a little bit as well. They're going to play that three-man front. Ole Miss can run the football. They don't have to rely on the pass every snap. Obviously, Alabama shut them down with that same look, but Arkansas doesn't have that kind of talent. I'm a Barry Odom fan. I think he created that defense to slow the scoring down, particularly the Southeastern Conference. He was the head coach of Missouri, came to Arkansas, and I think he's done a remarkable job. But if you rush three, take those two inside linebackers and drop them, you can almost got 2-on-1 blocking up front and run between the tackles, and you go get 5 or 6 yards. And I think that's what Ole Miss is going to do. They're going to try to draw the linebackers up, they'll throw behind them in front of the defensive backs.
What was it we called the Apollo 13 mission a successful failure? Who handles the successful failure here, Arkansas or Ole Miss?
It was such a big game for each last week, all the hype. So I don't know if you can get over that real easy. It's going to be a bit of a hangover, but you got to. And you might be playing for a second in the SEC West, yes, but the programs continue to try to rise up. I don't know the answer to that question. It's going to be hard to come back after last week.
You can ask the same question for Texas A&M, which finds itself clamoring for relevance after losing the last two games, including a head-scratcher to Mississippi State at home last week. They also have to deal with a comment from their head coach, Jimbo Fisher, who was caught on tape making this comment during a summer booster club meeting.
Did you have any response for that?
In golf?
More drama, right? The Aggies can get some redemption with a win over Alabama in a night contest at Kyle Field, but Ola Buchanan of TexAggs.com is not too sure A&M can pull it off.
Since 2014, A&M's gone in there thinking if we play almost a perfect game and maybe Alabama's not on its game, you know, maybe you can get to the fourth quarter and have a chance. I think they're getting to the point where they feel like we can go out and play them and you know, expect to have a chance to win as long as we play well, and not saying that they have to play poorly.
A&M hadn't lost three in a row in quite a while, but it may be happening this year.
And they only lost that one game last year. And even though they were placing Mond, and I know they've had an injury at quarterback early this year, I thought this team could be pretty good still. And they just have not performed. And all that aside, the comment by Jimbo Fisher about Nick Saban that he was going to whip him, now or whenever, the struggles are there versus everybody else, not necessarily just Alabama so far, at least this year. So we'll see. I think they're getting them in a good spot, though. Again, Alabama, a lot of excitement about last week, and can they come back and continue their A game? And if they're not on their A game, we might see something like what we saw with Florida. It's possible.
You very well could. Of course, A&M is really beat up going into this game. We'll see how they handle that. If you watched the Auburn Tigers beat LSU last weekend, you saw the latest from Bo Nix and his magical escape artistry. The junior quarterback made acrobatic plays, including one for a key touchdown pass to give Auburn its first win in Baton Rouge since 1999. Now, he will attempt to lead the Tigers to a more challenging magic trick, beating second-ranked Georgia. Dawgs coach Kirby Smart has seen enough of Nix to know what he's capable of.
Yeah, his ability to extend plays is elite. I mean, the play he ran last week is basically all you need to show for the scouting report, you know, to do what he did against a really good SEC defense with a lot of tremendous athletes on it, to avoid an escape and keep your eyes downfield. It puts a lot of pressure on the defense to be able to cover people that long.
By the way, that's Michael Butler typing in the background.
60 words a minute, man.
You're
but
awesome.
We need a silent keypad, though, so it's not so loud. Next
they
time.
Make them. He just didn't have one. But back to the information at hand here. Bo Nix cannot get away, I don't think, with what he did last week against this defense.
This is the best defense in the country. 23 total points given up in five games. It's amazing this day and age in football, no matter who you play. It's going to take some magic. I think you're right. Jordan Hare magic, Bo Nix magic, whichever, for Auburn to somehow pull out this upset. Last time they beat them in this series was 2017. Georgia's ranking number two. What's their ranking this week? Number two. Sound familiar? Huh? Maybe there's some magic in that.
I'll let you play with that one yourself. Texas and Oklahoma are back in Dallas this weekend for the annual Red River Rivalry. It is a new experience for Texas first-year coach Steve Sarkisian, who is, in his words, pumped about Saturday. But he reminds Longhorn fans this is another step for the program.
The peripheral puts measuring sticks on us of where we are. Our process is our process, and we have to wire in and respect every opponent we play and make sure we're putting our best foot forward. You always want the big leaps and bounds and the growth and all those things. And but for me, the positive has been I really believe that we're making incremental progress as a program. When you're playing the team that over recent history has won the conference, well, here's an opportunity to basically see where are we at this point.
It was a younger voice, but he sounded a whole lot like his old boss, didn't he?
Yeah, the process was a term we heard a lot from Nick Saban, which I think you still hear sometimes. A bit guarded early in his career is Steve Sarkisian right now in a game that's as big as any for Texas, obviously, every year. But I think they've got a shot. Oklahoma struggled early. They've got five wins, four versus FBS, and the four FBS W's, 21 total points is the difference in those games. They've all been close. I can't see this one not being close as well, and with Texas having a shot at the end.
It's number three versus number four when Penn State visits Kinnick Stadium to face the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday. Highest ranking in the meeting, but the third time in 4 years both teams are ranked. That's all great, but according to Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz, it's too early to worry about rankings.
You know, we just happen to be 5-0 right now, and so do they, so that's the way it is. But it's not a five-week season or six-week season. You know, you don't get any prizes. Nobody's going to announce a bowl matchup next week. You know, I know they do the prognostications weekly. I get that. But they really don't count. Those are paper money, Monopoly money. And, you know, nothing really counts till you get to the finish line.
Kirk Ferentz can downplay this one all he wants. This is a pretty big game.
It's huge. Highest they've both been rated together in this game ever. Number two defense versus the number three defense. Not going to be a bunch of points, I wouldn't think, in this matchup. Good to see these teams back in contention. Now, it may be early. Like you said, week five is not the end of the year. But I like this matchup, especially good old-fashioned defense.
Yeah, if you like old football, old-fashioned football, you're going to get it this weekend. And one more thing, Friday, October 8th, is a significant day in college football history. It is the 100th anniversary of the first game ever broadcast on radio. The year was 1921. The Backyard Brawl, featuring West Virginia and Pittsburgh, was played via what was the first commercial radio station, KDKA, in Pittsburgh. The broadcast from Forbes Field had Harold Arlen doing the play-by-play. The following year, the game between Princeton and the University of Chicago became the first broadcast on national radio. That same year, more than 70 universities filed for broadcast license, which led to schools such as Notre Dame, Harvard, and Yale broadcasting their games live. The first Rose Bowl to be broadcast took place in 1925, beginning a long relationship between the game and NBC, but 1930, several conferences banned radio broadcasts for fear of its effects on attendance. Where have we heard that before? That lasted about 5 years when conferences and universities learned that money could be made selling advertising, proving, once again, some things never change. This week, the U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish Catch of the Week has the Stanford Cardinals sending their game into overtime with a touchdown pass with no time on the clock. Tanner McGee found Elijah Higgins for the score in a game the Cardinals eventually won in overtime. Scott Reese has the call on the Cardinals Sports Network.
Here we go. Final play. McGee looking end zone, and it is caught by Elijah Higgins for the touchdown.
The fade worked. They know it's coming, and they still get it.
And now... no, they're going to kick it. They're going to kick it. I wonder if he considered it. They're going to kick it and try and send this thing to overtime.
You don't want a gut punch after a drive like that. Admittedly, there were penalties that helped.
Yep.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more. Visit uscatfish.com.
College football season is here, and the best place to get great tailgate gear is Academy Sports and Outdoors. Swing by your local Academy store or shop online at academy.com, where you can find grills, canopies, portable chairs, and other fan faves for game day glory. Plus, get official team jerseys, shirts, hats, and more, all at prices you'll love. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Alabama and Georgia by the numbers. Here's Michael Butler.
It may look like a two-team race for the national championship after Alabama and Georgia's wins last weekend. A week earlier, Alabama extended its win streak versus non-ranked teams to 100, an all-time record. With Saturday's win, the Crimson Tide's 19th straight, Bama now has 45 straight victories when scoring a touchdown on its opening drive. They played 57 straight quarters without trailing. And by scoring more than 30 points, they've tied UCF's record set from 2017 to 19 of scoring 30 or more in 31 straight games. Nick Saban also improved to 24-0 versus former assistants. Kirby Smart is a former Nick Saban assistant, and his Georgia team shut out its second straight opponent last weekend. This season, Georgia has given up just 23 points total. If Alabama and Georgia are 1-2, who's number 3?
It's time for another recipe from Gridiron Chef Doc.
Michael, Graham, good to be here feeding you for another chaotic week of college pigskin here at Lindy's. As my popcorn is still in the microwave, thanks, Lane, let's get off this potential three-month beef and cheese road diet we've been heading into. This week, I'm giving you a filling, yet healthy, yet incredibly delicious, vegetarian-friendly recipe of the week. Marinated and grilled portobello mushrooms with fresh chimichurri. You're going to marinate these beefy portobello mushrooms. Get the biggest, take the core out of them, with a balsamic garlic mix. Then you're going to grill them to perfection, and you're going to top it with this incredible avocado-based chimichurri. Fresh, marinated, and grilled portobello mushrooms with an avocado chimichurri. You can get this recipe by emailing me at tailgatehomegatenation@gmail.com. Now I'll have recipes for you, whatever you need for your game day setup. Gentlemen, whatever you do, have a delicious and now healthy college football weekend.
We bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. Lynn, you got your popcorn for today's show.
I don't, Graham. I suspect that during every season, there are coaches that say things that, in hindsight, they look back and say, man, I wish I hadn't said them. Probably back in the old days, there were a lot of things that were said that didn't get much publicity, you know, and didn't get on the billboards or didn't make the social media. We didn't have social media. But now, everything you do is instantaneous news and everybody knows about it. And you can, you know, Lane Kiffin has been known for antics. And has been one of the more flamboyant coaches. I suspect that in that Alabama game that he wishes he hadn't talked about popcorn before it, but I suspect maybe that Jimbo Fisher wishes this week that he had not sounded so confident before the season started that his team would be a competitor not only against Alabama but for the SEC championship, because at this point at least it hadn't turned out that way.
You would think these coaches would know. There's a microphone on somewhere.
Yep. Yeah, there's a microphone on. Everybody's got a telephone, and everybody's telephone is a camera and an audio. So, you know, but I don't know. They learn their lesson the hard way sometimes. I know a lot of them just want to get attention brought to their program, but sometimes you get the kind of attention that you don't really want.
This is true. Good news, though, some good attention given to Cincinnati after they went over Notre Dame. You feel like they're in the position now maybe to make the playoff?
I do, because the stars are aligning the right way for them, Graham. They're having the situation where the two toughest games they had, at least they should be, were playing at the home field of a Big Ten team and at the home field of Notre Dame. They've won both of those games. Now they've got the rest of the Conference USA, the American Athletic Conference scheduled to run through. Not to put anything down on them, but Cincinnati is the best team left out of the bunch. And so if they can run the schedule 12-0 and win the championship game, then they're 13-0 and a conference champion, and the stars are aligning the right way. You don't have a natural team in the Pac-12 now with Oregon losing. You don't have a natural team in the ACC now with Clemson having a down year. If you got Oklahoma and Texas this weekend. If Oklahoma were to lose that game, then the Bell Cow team from the Big 12, you've still got, you know, Wake Forest and Oklahoma State and some teams. But it looks like it would then come down to the Big Ten and the SEC having the lion's share of the teams that are undefeated or with one loss and nationally ranked, which puts Cincinnati right in there. I've hoped that a group of five team would be able to make it. You've had a couple that have kind of teased us with it, but I think Cincinnati's got a real shot. According to the way the rest of the games go, it could come out that Cincinnati could have a real legitimate chance when they start considering the teams.
Yeah, and they really have a favorable schedule, at least as far as wins are concerned, going the rest of the way. Let's talk about some games coming up over the weekend, and we'll start with a game that features number 3 and number 4, Iowa and Penn State. They're playing at Kinnick Stadium.
One of the best games of the season. Two outstanding defensive teams. I was able to be at Penn State in the press box to see one of their games this year, the Whiteout, which is a great experience. Iowa's defense is outstanding. Maryland had 7 turnovers against that defense last week. It's playing at home. That's a great atmosphere where to play. Penn State is a really, really good team. They may have the best resume of anybody in the country. One at Wisconsin, shut out Indiana, beat Auburn. If they're good enough to win at Iowa, they're good enough to win their division. It's got Michigan State, and Ohio State in it. I lean toward Iowa because of the home field. Both teams, great advantage. But only one team, Auburn, has scored as many as 20 points against Penn State all year. So I lean toward Iowa, but it's a great game. I'd love to just be watching it.
Let's go to the Red River Rivalry or Shootout or whatever we're calling it this year, Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, I like Oklahoma. Both teams score a lot. Both teams have got good offenses. Texas has come on that way. I think Oklahoma may be more consistent. If Oklahoma loses, then it puts Oklahoma State in a lot stronger position. But I like Oklahoma to win that ball game.
All right, let's go to the SEC. Arkansas and Ole Miss, two teams hurting after their games last week.
Which coach can get their team up the best from an emotional high of games that they lost? The loser of this game can really only be a spoiler, because then they'd have two losses. I take Ole Miss. They're at home. The strength of their offense. But, again, it wouldn't shock me if Arkansas won the ball game. But I think because of the home field advantage, I'm going to go with Ole Miss.
All right. Georgia and Auburn.
Got to go with Georgia because of the defense. Auburn probably is the best chance Auburn's got, that Georgia's got to lose. If you look at Kentucky and Florida so far, Georgia does not play Mississippi. They don't play Alabama. Auburn's got a history of knocking off number one, number two teams. But I've got to go with Georgia's defense. They're the best defense I've seen in a long, long time. A little sidelight, they've got two consecutive shutouts, totaling 99-0. The last time they had two consecutive shutouts, 1980, the year that they won the national championship. Don't know if that's prophetic, but it's an interesting little sidelight.
And Alabama going to College Station for Texas A&M.
I think Alabama can name the score. A&M's already 0-2 with losses to Mississippi State and Arkansas. They still got to play Alabama, Ole Miss, Auburn, LSU. Like we said at the start of the show, I suspect Jimbo may regret that prophecy. I can't see Alabama being really. I expect Alabama to win by a comfortable margin.
And then you're upset.
We'll take one that most people wouldn't think about. I'm taking University of Texas San Antonio, UTSA, to win a 3-point underdog at Western Kentucky. I think one of my favorite names in college football, not Bumper Pool of Arkansas or Smoke Monday of Auburn, Sincere McCormick, who is the leading rusher for UTSA. I think he will lead UTSA to another win. They've won at Illinois. They've won at Memphis. I think they will beat Western Kentucky.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.